Heard the call to build your small business? Make it happen with a .net domain name, the place for dreamers for 30 years and counting. Visit keepdreamingup.net for tips and advice, whether you're just getting started or looking to grow. That's keepdreamingup.net.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, I'm Lucas Ann, and thank you for listening to Locked On Clippers. If you like the Locked On Podcast Network and you're interested in joining our team, this may be your chance. The Locked On Podcast Network is hiring a national sales manager. You can be a part of the fastest growing sports podcast network, selling the NBA channel, NFL channel, and the entire network to our national advertisers. If you have the skills, the perseverance, and the game to be a part of the Locked On Podcast Network, email lockedonpodcasts@gmail.com with your resume. That email address again was lockedonpodcasts@gmail.com. Now enjoy the show. Hello everyone, and welcome to an episode of Locked On Clippers Podcast. I'm your host, Lucas Han, and today is Friday, June 9th, 2017. I know we didn't have episodes the last couple days. It's been a combination of a couple of things. First of all, there hasn't been really much to talk about as far as the Clippers go. You know, the offseason is coming in a couple weeks, and we have some rumors and hypotheticals to discuss, but really, you know, this week has been a pretty slow week compared to the Jerry West news and the Austin Rivers, Big Baby Davis conversation from last week. And then additionally, I had a little bit of an untimely power outage yesterday on Thursday, which left me unable to get a Thursday episode out to you guys. But here we are on Friday, rounding out the week. And this, and I think I really mean it this time, is going to be a pretty short episode, just kind of discussing how the finals are going and a couple different, you know, rumors or hypotheticals floating around the team. So first of all, the big one is that the Cavaliers lost Game 3 of the NBA Finals the other night. It was much closer than the first two games. They were in it. They were actually up 6 or 7 right at the very end, and they allowed an 11-0 run to close the game, which ended up in them losing by 5. And that's just, it's crushing. You know, it's really crushing for the Cavaliers, who last season in the NBA Finals lost games 1 and 2 in similar fashion, came back to win game 3, and then that left them down 3-1 with a chance to kind of come back. Down 3-0, no one has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit in the history of the NBA playoffs in a 7-game series. And I don't expect this to be the first time. Now, LeBron might carry the Cavaliers to a home victory in Game 4. And, you know, LeBron's been phenomenal all series, all season, his entire career, really. But this Warriors team is just too good. And that's where we ultimately were left going into this series, was does Cleveland have a puncher's chance? Sure, because they have LeBron. But do they have much more than a puncher's chance? No. Golden State is clearly the better team. And I think that's what we've seen so far, is that you see games like Game 3 where Cleveland could have won. It was right there in the balance. They ended up losing that one. And if you have enough games where Cleveland plays really well, and they get right within that margin, and enough of them flip the right way, they could have won this series. But I don't think it's much of a surprise to anyone that this series could end up a sweep. Golden State is on the verge, one game away, tonight, Game 4 of the NBA Finals, of being the first team in NBA history to complete a 16-0 perfect sweep of the playoffs. Not only did they sweep every single opponent they played, but they swept 4-0 in series. Like, that's just, it's kind of even crazy to wrap your head around, that no one has been able to compete with them. And of course, it's not that crazy to wrap your head around, because we knew this would be the case last summer when a 73-win team went out and added Kevin Durant, one of the best players in the world. But still, I guess it's just shocking. You know, it's like kind of a phenomenal feat. But it also goes to show, you know, a lack of competition. And I believe from my perspective that it's not that the league is weak right now. It's that the Warriors are just unhealthily good. It's bad for the NBA for them to be as good as they are. I mean, if any time you have a team far and away finishing in first place, I mean, Golden State won 67 games in the regular season. Cleveland won 51. So you've got a 16-win disparity there. And then Golden State sweeping through the entire Western Conference playoffs and then sweeping the defending champions in the NBA Finals. What are we supposed to expect, assuming they bring back their guys, next season? Are we to expect anything different? It's not like Cleveland has flexibility to make huge changes. San Antonio likely isn't going to make any huge changes. And honestly, even if these teams do, even if San Antonio were to kind of gut their roster to sign Chris Paul, like has been rumored, or if the Clippers go out and trade spare pieces for Carmelo Anthony, these teams could get a lot better, but the gap between them and Golden State is already so massive that adding a guy like Carmelo Anthony doesn't put you over the top, which is crazy to say, but I mean, I even talked about it at the trade deadline when the Clippers were in those Carmelo talks. The Clippers could trade for Carmelo Anthony, and they would still be massive underdogs against the Warriors. So where do you go? If you're these teams, do you even try? Or maybe you hope that you get lucky and Golden State, you know, has some, whatever could go wrong, injuries, locker room problems, horrible shooting for a few games. Do you hope that it all goes wrong and that you get a chance to pass them, or do you give up and totally punt? Because there are some teams that have been punting. Even Boston, who has been very good, has been going out of their way to not cash out their prospects and draft picks for win now pieces, because they don't think they can win now. Even if they get Paul George or Jimmy Butler, they don't think they can win now because they have to go through LeBron just to get to these Golden State Warriors that have proven impossible to beat. I mean, I don't know how you spin this. It would be one thing if they won, if they were really good and they won. Okay, a lot of teams are, you know, every team that wins a championship is really good. But for them to dominate the league in this way, 67 wins, 16-0 in the playoffs, I don't know how you spin that any way other than the NBA, you know, or at least as far as competing for the championship goes, the NBA isn't competitive. You're still going to have good basketball games, and you're going to have good playoff series that don't involve the Warriors. But once you get to the Warriors versus whoever in the conference finals or in the finals, you aren't going to have those epic series of two great teams going up against each other because the one great team is so much better than the others. It's a shame. You know, it sucks. I think it sucks. Now, buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time, and it's always been hard to find the best deal for the game or show you want to go to, and none of these older ticket sites want to change that, but SeatGeek is different. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. SeatGeek is always the first place I go to look for tickets to a game or concert. Everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for sports and music fans. SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work, and you save time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Best of all, my listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab, and click Add a Promo Code. Enter promo code LOCLIPPERS, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LOCLIPPERS today. Now, moving away from the NBA Finals and back into the world of Clippers, but in a sense still kind of, you know, more of a transition, a good bridge, the LeBron rumors that we've been seeing today, or seeing yesterday, Thursday. Now, if you don't, you know, if you don't follow the internet hypotheticals, there was chatter online, especially following Cleveland's loss going down 3-0, of course, about what the Cavaliers need to make changes. Now, obviously, they're not going to make changes today that help them win this championship. There's no, starting Mon Shumpert instead of J.R. Smith, and we're going to beat the Warriors four times in a row. It's not going to happen. But could they go in this summer and say, we need to move Kevin Love for Carmelo Anthony, or we need to go after this kind of role player. We need to get rid of Tristan Thompson's salary. Whatever it is, do they end up in that situation where they're making changes? These are changes that have been talked about. But one thing that was talked about was LeBron potentially changing teams. And the obvious destination, should that happen, is to the Clippers. Now, I don't think it's going to happen. And it's definitely worth noting because I've seen a lot of people who don't seem to be aware of this. LeBron is not a free agent this summer. So any sort of movement for LeBron James would have to involve either a trade that he would have to force through on Cleveland's end, or next summer's free agency, 2018, which makes talking about it right now because Cleveland is down 3-0 in the finals pretty silly. Because even if LeBron goes to them and says, I'm going to the Clippers the summer of 2018, what happens if Cleveland comes back and wins the championship again next year? Or they make moves that make them more competitive with Golden State? Or the summer of 18 comes around and Golden State falls apart, Klay Thompson leaves in free agency, for example, and now you're thinking as LeBron, hey, I can still win with Cleveland. Now, there is some sort of legitimacy to this kind of talk, and it stems from LeBron's relationship with Chris Paul. Now, LeBron has said in the past outright that he would like to play with Chris Paul. And, you know, to put it more specifically, he said he'd like to play with Chris Paul, Dwayne Wade, and Carmelo Anthony, that group of four friends. They're very close friends. They vacation together, you know, all that stuff. That it would be really fun at the end of their careers to play together, even if it's just for 1 or 2 years. It would be such a wonderful experience for the four of them. Now, an easy way, I guess, or, you know, quote-unquote easy way to make that happen would be for Chris Paul to go to the Cavaliers this summer, for the Cavaliers to pull off the Kevin Love, Carmelo Anthony trade, which they've repeatedly rejected, and then Dwayne Wade, who has a player option, to just opt out and go take a pay cut to sign with the Cavaliers. So, you know, I have no idea what the Clippers would be getting in this scenario with Chris Paul leaving. There would need to be some kind of sign and trade to facilitate it, unless Chris took a massive pay cut. But it seems like you're probably not going to get Kyrie Irving back in a sign and trade. The Cavaliers would probably move Kyrie Irving somewhere else for assets, take Chris Paul back for, you know, different salary. It would be more complex than Kyrie Irving ending up being a Clipper, unfortunately. You know, it's a downgrade from Chris Paul, but Kyrie Irving is still a very, very good player. But let's say it doesn't happen on the Cavaliers this summer. It could happen on the Clippers in the future. DeAndre Jordan for Carmelo Anthony. The Knicks would take that trade. Or if the Clippers, say, end up with Carmelo Anthony this summer anyway, now you're just talking about, you know, Carmelo Anthony for Jamal Crawford, like we've been talking about. Then it's just about LeBron and Dwayne Wade taking pay cuts to come here. Now, that's like as much of a far-fetched full court heave, Hail Mary, whatever that you want to send, but if there's any credence to this rumor, it's that these guys have said that they'd like to play together at the end of their careers, and they're getting to the end of their careers, so maybe they make it happen. But I definitely don't, personally, I don't buy into the hype. I don't really think it's even worth talking about in any sort of major way, because, first of all, it's not happening this summer. And that's, like, the most important thing, because there's so much going on with the Clippers right now before we get into whatever crazy hypotheticals in the future. And second of all, even when we get into the future, the odds of it happening seem very slim. It seemed more like a, yeah, man, that would be fun, not like a, we've been planning this out. And, you know, maybe, I'm not saying it's not going to happen. Maybe it does. Because that LeBron, you know, we know those guys had kind of been planting the seeds to meet up in Miami a long time before they ended up actually meeting up in Miami. But that doesn't mean that every time we hear a little bit of chatter that it's automatically some huge conspiracy for something that's coming years down the line. Now, the last thing that I want to introduce in this episode in the next few minutes before we wrap it up for the week, a couple of different frameworks for trades that I don't think have been discussed much yet. One involving Jamal Crawford, one involving DeAndre Jordan. So there's this sense that the Clippers need to mix up their core. That's why the Carmelo Anthony trade is so attractive, because it's like the Clippers with a twist, right? You can sell the fan base, you can sell the staff, you can sell the roster that this isn't the same Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan Clippers. We have Carmelo Anthony now. And sure, Carmelo Anthony may not be the player that he used to be, and even when he was the player that he used to be, he had obvious glaring flaws. But nonetheless, he's an amazingly talented basketball player. And he gives you a presence as a wing scorer and another, you know, end-of-game option that the Clippers haven't had. He's most definitely, even though he's less efficient than J.J. Redick, a more reliable offensive catalyst than J.J. Redick, in the sense that J.J. Redick had to be created for, but you can throw Carmelo the ball, and he's going to go, you know, he can do something with it on his own. And I think it's safe to assume that Carmelo's efficiency would go up with the Clippers playing with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin and in the best offense that he's ever played for, with Paul, Griffin, and Jordan having more space to operate. But take that out of the equation. Whether you get Melo or not, how do you change up the team in other ways? One way would be, I think the next most palatable way is moving DeAndre Jordan. Now, I know some people would say, I would rather move Blake than DJ. He has all the injuries. DeAndre's always healthy. DeAndre plays defense, whatever. And some people might even say they'd rather move Chris of the three because he's the oldest. And Chris and Blake have like a five-year window, or Blake and DJ have like a five-year window together, and Chris doesn't really have that. But if you're going to lose Chris or Blake, they're walking in free agency. You can't. DeAndre is the one who you can trade right now. So if the Clippers move DeAndre, it would probably be for wing help, like a more of a redistribution of where they're spending their money. Not spending a max contract on a power forward and a max contract on a center, but instead you have your point guard, you have a power forward, you get a wing, big salary star wing. And then you piece together scraps at center instead of piecing together scraps on the wing. So one potential option could be the Clippers could try to move DeAndre Jordan for some package of pieces, prospects, role players that they could then reconfigure with some of the things that they currently have in their war chest to try to go make a play for Paul George. It's unclear what the market really is for Paul George, depending on if Indiana's really trying to move him, if they think he's leaving in free agency next summer, whatever. But that's the type of thing that you could go after, trying to either move DJ for someone or get stuff for DJ that allows you to make plays for, you know, an upgrade at a different position, just to mix up the core while at the same time re-signing Chris and Blake. The other move, which is a little bit more marginal, but I think probably a little more practical. You know, I'm not convinced that the Clippers are going to get pieces in exchange for DeAndre Jordan that they can then flip for Paul George. But what's a little more practical is the idea of trading Jamal Crawford, who generally seen as overpaid, but still only has 1 year of guaranteed money left. So for Jamal, he's due to make $14 million this season, but next season only $3 million of his salary is guaranteed. So you can essentially, if another team gets him, they can either play him for 1 year and then cut him and be almost totally free of that money, or they could cut him and stretch his salary, stretch $17 million over 5 years, the 2 years on his contract times two plus one, 5 years, and be paying about $3.5 million a year to Jamal Crawford for each of the next five seasons, which is unappetizing, but it saves you a lot of money right now. So, for example, a team like the Los Angeles Lakers, who has a guy like Luol Deng making $17.2 million this year, $18 million next year, $18.8 million the year after, you would way rather be paying Jamal Crawford $14 million this year and then $3 million next year and nothing in year three. That's a lot of saved money. Or if you're worried about the luxury tax, you know, the Lakers in their case are not, but a team like the Portland Trailblazers is, then you cut him now. And for the Lakers, Luol Deng, $17 million, you cut Jamal, you're only paying him $3.5 million. That's huge luxury tax savings. Portland's a good example of a team that's more in that situation because they have all of these huge bloated contracts that they signed. And if they were to move a guy like Alan Crabb, who makes $19.3 million this year, $18.5 million each of the next two after it, they would be saving literally like $16 million in payroll this season if they got Jamal and cut him. And that would be a lot of money in luxury tax savings for a team that is not especially comfortable going into the luxury tax. Especially since they figure with their current payroll to be a luxury tax team going forward too. Now what's interesting is that these two teams, and there may be others out there like them, both have expendable picks in this draft. So you could move Jamal Crawford for, you know, Alan Crabb and pick 26. So the Clippers are able to get a pick in this draft, and they get a serviceable player back in Alan Crabb, although he's not great. Portland saves a ton of money. The Clippers, on their end, have to bite that salary, but Steve Ballmer is willing to pay the tax, and assuming the Clippers are confident that they are going to be able to re-sign Chris and Blake, they're not going to have cap room to spend in the next 5 years anyway, so it doesn't especially hurt them to be way over the cap. Now, with Luol Deng, it's a little bit trickier because whether or not Luol Deng is serviceable at this point in his career is a much more serious question than Alan Crabb, but he's only 32 years old. Just recently turned 32, so he'll be 32 for all of next season. And while he was really bad for the Lakers last year, he also kind of, there's a sense that he got this big paycheck for the Lakers and just kind of mailed it in on a bad team, just he's supposed to be there as a veteran presence, whatever. I mean, he made more for the Lakers last season, $18 million, than he had in any season in his career. His highest salary ever in 2014 was $14,275,000. And he signed a four-year, $72 million deal with the Lakers. But maybe you put him on the Clippers and he's motivated again. I'm not sure how much small forward he can really play. You know, having played really high minutes in Chicago for a long time, he's kind of worn down. But as a backup combo forward playing some three and some four, he should still be able to be effective. And the couple of years that he was in Miami before he came to the Lakers, his three-point shot improved up to 35%, which is, you know, a couple of the best seasons that he had from deep in his career. And he's always been known as a very good defender. And longtime, very good Eastern Conference player, two-time All-Star there, so of course Doc Rivers is going to be all over it. So you bite that salary, but it doesn't hurt you that badly because Steve Ballmer will pay the bill and you're probably not going to have cap room anyway. Or if you do lose Chris and Blake, you don't need the cap room anyway because you're totally rebuilding, so why not take on bad contracts as long as you're being compensated with picks? And you get a pick in this year's draft to add a rookie. Portland, Alan Crabb is probably a little bit of a safer bet than Luol Deng. But again, you're eating that bad contract because it doesn't hurt you as badly as it hurts them. in exchange, you get that pick. You know, I think it's something worth considering. So, you know, let me know what you guys think about those two trades, potentially moving DeAndre Jordan and reshaping the core, or just flipping Jamal Crawford and his friendly, you know, it's kind of silly, kind of crazy to call it a friendly contract, but because it has that partial guarantee second year, it can be stretched over a longer period of time, which makes it kind of unique, especially for a team like Portland that's looking to dodge the luxury tax. But so let me know what you think of that. Let me know what you think of the DeAndre Jordan thing, of the LeBron rumors, of potentially adding Carmelo Anthony to switch up the core. And we'll be back next week with some new episodes talking about all of it and more. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or feedback, hit me up on Twitter at LucasJHan. Email me lhan.clipsnation@gmail.com. Be sure to check out the Clips Nation blog at clipsnation.com and follow on Twitter at ClipsNationSBN. Thanks for listening, guys. This is Lucas Hand signing off for Locked On Clippers.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.